Welcome to The James Rice Show, a humorous, entertaining, and sometimes thought-provoking look at teaching and studying abroad. Join the conversation as James guides you through his experiences and provides insights into how to improve your English and how to improve your teaching of English. And now, here's the man you've been waiting for, James Rice.
Hello, my class, and welcome to The James Rice Show, broadcasting in over 60 countries from our studios here in Toronto, Canada, with our lovely producer, Stephanie. She's waving at you guys now. And where 14,000 Saudi students are currently leaving our country. Yep. Goodbye to our Saudi students, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. And our little podcast here, The James Rice Show, was removed from Facebook for 1 week last week. Yes, we were banned. Yeah, we're in the same category as Alex Jones. I can't believe it. We were banned last week from Facebook for our controversial interview with three Mexican students. It's true. I don't know why. Check it out. Episode 32, the Facebook ban episode, calling us too political. Too political. Yeah. You know, and I don't understand. The students were not political in any way, although we did talk about Donald Trump. And, you know, I did put down the hashtag build the wall just to try to draw in some of the people who are kind of anti-Mexican there in the U.S. And I guess that's why it got us banned from Facebook. The Facebook algorithm did not like us, calling us too political. So we could not promote our podcast through our usual groups that follow us there on The James Rice Show. So if you haven't listened to episode 32, please check it out, because the students are amazing. They did a great job. And we do talk about Trump, but, you know, it's nothing too bad. It's nothing that you haven't already probably heard already about Trump. We just wanted to, you know, promote our friends and our friends' feelings in Mexico, who have studied abroad with me and who were amazing people. And, you know, they've been getting beat up by the U.S. political system. So, yeah. The James Rice Show, banned for 1 week by Facebook. Who knew our little podcast was so controversial? Well, let's see what happens this week, because we are going to talk about 14,000 Saudi students being transferred out of Canada by the Saudi government. What? Yes, 14,000 students that are receiving a Saudi scholarship, part of the Saudi Scholarship Bureau, and the Saudi government pays for their education abroad. They often send students out to different countries, and they pay their full tuition and living expenses. Those students are being shipped out of Canada and transferred to other countries around the world, who no doubt are accepting them with open arms. Yeah, so these students, just so you guys understand, these students are usually university students and taking master's programs, or some of them are doctors. I think there's 800 student doctors in Canada that are being shipped out by the Saudi government. Yeah, it's billions of dollars being shipped out. So many of you out there have seen the story and have asked me on my Facebook page. I still have a Facebook page. They didn't take me down. I still have the Facebook page, James Rice Show. You can search for that. You guys have asked me, hey, James, what's going on in Canada? And, you know, it's of course, it's politics. And, you know, in my opinion, the Canadian government made a big mistake. Yes, I'm saying it here. You know, their heart was in the right place, but as a government, they made a big mistake. And Saudi Arabia punched us in the nose. Yeah, punched our Canadian government smack in the nose. Yeah. So check out, don't forget to check out our always, every week, our episode page on our website, www.thejamesriceshow.com. For more information on the Saudi-Canada dispute, I will post some articles and some of the official remarks from our government there so you guys can dig a little deeper into it if you want. So what happened? What the heck happened? 14,000 international students from Saudi Arabia leaving Canada. Well, you know, as it is in today's world, it started with a tweet, and not by Donald Trump, but by the Canadian government. The Canadian government has been trying to get a political activist out of jail in Saudi Arabia. This man and his sister, his family, I believe, generally, have been trying to promote democracy, women's rights, human rights in general in Saudi Arabia, and to try to open up the Saudi culture. All very good ideas, all very noble. But he is an activist. He's not part of our government. He is an activist. And as with all activists, you know, you're gonna risk getting arrested, and getting arrested and put in jail sometimes is the goal. You know, look at Nelson Mandela. So it helps to promote change, or it can draw attention to your cause in the world. And Canada had been working kind of behind the scenes to try to get him out, because I believe his sister is Canadian. He is not Canadian. And his wife may be Canadian as well. Sorry, his sister is not Canadian, and he is not Canadian, but his wife is Canadian. Stephanie is telling me that. So he is an activist in Saudi Arabia, but not Canadian, but he's married to a Canadian. So Canada, through the kind of official government channels, released an official tweet, you know, a Canada tweet, a Canadian government tweet. It wasn't a tweet from, you know, some activist in Canada. It was an official government tweet. And they told the government of Saudi Arabia, you must release this activist. Let him go. And that Canada supports human rights above business, everything, above all. Human rights is most important. So remember that one, because that's important later on in the show. And then, boom, all hell broke loose. And that's a good idiom, all hell broke loose. Saudi Arabia went crazy. All hell broke loose. The Saudi government decided to, of course, transfer 14,000 students attending universities here out of Canada. They stopped all flights, literally within 24 hours. They stopped all flights from Saudi Arabia to Toronto. Boom. The people were scrambling here from Saudi Arabia who were trying to leave because they couldn't. They had tickets and they wanted to get out of Toronto because the ticket would be no longer valid. They couldn't fly with that ticket, which is, of course, an expensive ticket. So they were trying to get out of Toronto. They stopped all new business with Canada, all new business, and basically cut Canada off from Saudi Arabia, except for the 100,000 barrels of oil that Saudi Arabia is sending us and the $14 billion war machines that we are making for Saudi Arabia. Hey, war is business, you know, and oil is needed. So on the surface, it does look like Canada is doing the right thing and Saudi Arabia is the bad guy and absolutely wrong. And, you know, that is what Canadian media is saying, and our government is saying too, hey, we're right. We're right here. We're fighting for human rights. Saudi Arabia is wrong. They're a repressive, evil, bad people. But here's where I think differently, and I think Canada made a big diplomatic mistake, and they need to apologize to the Saudi government. And actually, I've been waiting for this apology all week, but nothing, no apology. So I'm going to discuss a little later in the show why I think Canada is wrong on this one and why we are being hypocritical. Hypocritical, that's an important word. That means we're saying one thing, but we do something else. And I also want to discuss my run-in with the Saudi scholarship program, and what I will tell you about that may be a bit surprising considering what Canada is saying about human rights and everything like that right now, because what Canada has allowed Saudi Arabia to do is there's nothing related to human rights here with that program, and I'll talk about that as well. So I think Canada's being a little hypocritical. Also coming up on the show a little bit later in Teacher Talk is teaching in Mexico and teaching Mexican students. We're going to have an owner of a English language school who in Mexico. He runs a language school in Mexico that teaches English. And he's going to talk about teaching Mexican students. And, you know, if you're thinking about traveling abroad, maybe teaching in Mexico, this is good. Or if you have Mexican students coming into your classrooms, they may give you some insight as well on how to teach Mexican students. And I hope Facebook will not ban us for that one. All right. But first, coming up, the idiom of the week.
The Study It textbooks are the first ever completely digital and interactive English as a Second Language textbook series. Once downloaded, these textbooks do not require a Wi-Fi connection. Students and teachers can use them anywhere, anytime. Used in over 40 schools, universities, and NGOs worldwide. Study It is the future of English teaching. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
It's time for James's Idiom of the Week.
All right, this week I want to talk with you, my students, about a phrasal verb, take off. Take off. Yeah, this is a phrasal verb. Now, a phrasal verb is a verb that, in this case, the verb is take, plus a preposition, off, take off. All right, and we often use take off to say we're removing clothing. Okay, that's the most common use of take off. So I am taking off my shoes, or he took off his hat at dinner. Okay, so take, and then the past tense took, and then the past participle taken, take, took, taken. All right, so that's pretty common. We take off some of our clothing. All right, but we do use take off as kind of an idiom, not really a true idiom, but take off does have four other meanings that you may not be so familiar with. All right, let's take a look. All right, the first one, the first meaning of take off means to leave the ground and begin to fly. It's also fairly common, so, you know, with birds or with airplanes, so you might say, hey, when do we take off? All right, when does the flight take off? Or the seagull took off and headed toward the lake. All right, that means to leave the ground and begin to fly. All right, now another one means to leave in a hurry. All right, so you want to leave a place very, very quickly. All right. Wow. She really took off from the party. You know, oh my gosh, I've got to take off. I'm late. All right. So that means I need to leave quickly. I'm in a hurry. I got to leave. All right. That's another meaning of take off. All right. For this one is a business meaning. All right. Take off means something that begins to sell very, very well. All right. For example, Barbie dolls began to take off in the 60s. Yeah, Barbie began to take off in the 60s. So they started to sell many, many, many Barbie dolls in the 60s. Or the Avenger ticket sales really took off after the opening weekend, which is true, actually. After the opening weekend, it got stronger, the Avengers, as more people liked the movie. So the sales took off after the opening weekend. All right, so that's a business idiom. So kind of to sell well, all right? Another one, all right, means to become exciting, all right? Something that becomes exciting. So you could say, hey, man, did the party ever take off or was it really boring all night? And you would say, no, no, the party took off after midnight. The party took off after midnight. So the party got exciting after midnight. Yeah. So that is take off. And of course, in Canada, we say, take off, eh, ya hoser? Take off, eh? That means, you know, like, I don't believe you or get out of here. It's an old idiom. I know Canadian people are like rolling their eyes going, James, why are you teaching take off, eh? It's an old idiom. You're not going to hear it much. And you will only hear it in Canada or from a Canadian because it's very, very famous part of our culture. And it's from Bob and Doug McKenzie, two great Canadians, eh? Check them out on YouTube. All right. Check them, Bob and Doug McKenzie. It's true. Yes. Believe me. All right. You're fine. Okay. You know, take off, eh? And that is the idiom of the week.
Don't forget to follow James on Instagram at Connect with James for fun photos and updates on future episodes.
All right, you know what that music means. It's news time. Yes, as discussed in the opening, I think Canada is wrong. And being hypocritical, if you remember that word, hypocritical, in this dispute with the Saudi government. And I think Canada should apologize. All right, now, the Canadian media and the Canadian government, they are pounding their chest. Rawr, yeah, we're so strong about how right we are in this dispute with Saudi Arabia. And I'm calling out the media and the government to say, wait a second. We are being quite the hypocrites here, saying one thing and doing another. All right, so here's what I'm talking about. First, what is the Saudi Scholarship Fund? Now, the Saudi Scholarship Fund gives money to 14,000 students from Saudi Arabia so that they can study and live in Canada. Now, I have worked in the past with the Saudi Fund, and basically they deposited, when I was working with them, they were depositing about $3,500 a month. $3,500 Canadian dollars a month into the accounts of their students. Plus, they would pay for their education at my school. So the Saudis could get money for living, $3,500 a month, plus the Saudi government would pay me for their studies. All right, and it was run totally by the Saudi government. And now, I didn't like the way it was run, honestly. It was run very, very poorly in some respects because students would have to study all the way through and then at the end we would get paid. So we would have to ensure that they would be studying and doing well before we got paid. So I didn't like the setup of that. But anyways, that's a whole other area to discuss. One thing that always bothered me about the Saudi Scholarship Fund was that the Canadian government, the same government here, would allow the Saudi government access to the student bank accounts. So they would allow, our government allowed the Saudi government to enter into their bank accounts of the Saudi students that they were sponsoring to see what and how they were spending their money. They were spying on the students. And excuse me, talk about human rights abuses, talk about privacy issues. Right here in Canada, you're allowing the Saudi government access to bank accounts of international students. So I find this to be a little hypocritical when you're talking about the Saudi government and human rights abuses, when we're kind of allowing a lot of abuse of our banking system. So it always made our students very, very nervous about how they were spending their money and what was being seen by the Saudi government because they had this special access to their funds. Second, our official government position with two major human rights abusers, countries in the world that abuse people, Cuba and China, has always been, and I agree with this policy, it's always been, we need to engage with them. We need to do business with them. We need to try to make change in these countries slowly, peacefully, And in the case of Cuba, you know, we have been shown to be correct on this philosophy. In fact, Fidel Castro came to Justin Trudeau, our prime minister, Justin Trudeau's father's funeral. And Castro, Fidel, of course, a big human rights abuser. But there he is, hugging and feeling sad with Justin Trudeau. And, you know, he's just a big abuser of human rights throughout his time. But we have had cultural exchanges with Cuba. So we would bring musicians from Cuba to come to Canada to play and educate and teach our students music in high school and colleges, and they'd go back to Cuba. We would have travel. We have travel to Cuba. Unlike the United States, Canadians go to Cuba quite often and spend a lot of their money there and travel through Cuba. And even though the United States has always hated Cuba and they don't do any trading or any business with Cuba, Canada has been trying to bridge the gap between both Cuba and the U.S. and Cuba and the rest of the world. And it has been working. We're starting to see Cuba open up, and we're starting to see even the U.S. before Trump, Obama opened up an embassy there in Cuba. We're starting to see the U.S. kind of settle down on Cuba and feel a little more comfortable working with Cuba. And this is all because of us. Now, in 2010, the Saudi government set up the scholarship fund. And I have, of course, I've been to Saudi Arabia, as many of you know, so full disclosure on that. I have met with presidents of Saudi colleges and universities there, and they have told me that the purpose of one of the purposes of the scholarship fund was a kind of hope to bring change and reform to Saudi Arabia, that the kids would bring this change. And they said to me very clearly, very privately, very personally, that Saudi Arabia needs to change. But the politics and the power of the religion makes it difficult. They have a very strong culture of religion there, as everyone knows, and they have a lot of political power, as everyone knows. So they hoped by sending their kids to the West that they would get their Western education and change would occur slowly. Now, jump ahead 8 years later, and we can look at Saudi Arabia and say that, in fact, change has begun. Women, of course, are now allowed to drive. Rap music is being played. Women are dancing in rap music songs. If you don't believe me, you can listen to some of our earlier episodes where we talked about teaching Saudi students. You can hear some of that music. Saudi women can now attend a soccer game inside a stadium. First time ever. First time ever that has been allowed. Women in Saudi Arabia can open their own businesses. The first movie theater in Saudi Arabia opened up on April 19th, just a couple of months ago. April 18th, they opened up their first movie theater in Riyadh. And another 40 are being planned to open over the next 5 years. That is huge, folks. That is huge, all right? The Crown Prince has offered up a plan called Vision 2030, and he's going to slowly open up Saudi Arabia, which includes, hey, allowing women to join the military. Can you believe that? Change is happening in Saudi Arabia, and no one is talking about that in Canada, that's for sure. And all of these are positive, and this has happened in 8 short years since the scholarship fund began. This is a country that is taking baby steps towards social change. Guys, my students, my teachers out there, yeah, would we like Saudi Arabia to open up, swing the doors open, and be a Western-style country? Yeah, sure, of course we would. But that's not going to happen, okay? That's not going to happen. Countries like Saudi Arabia, even China, and many Asian countries as well, take change and make change very slowly, okay, at a speed that their country will accept. And oftentimes it's not as fast as we like it in the West. And unfortunately, the reality is that they can't do it faster for many reasons that, you know, escape us, because we're not living in that country, we're not living in that political system. But we can look at those examples and see change is happening, all right? And then suddenly, here comes Canada demanding change, demanding Saudi Arabia change their laws and allow this activist out of jail immediately. No, you know, Canada made a mistake. Someone in the government sent out that tweet, and it happened on the weekend, so probably wasn't anybody important. Somebody sent that, because our government doesn't work on the weekends. Someone sent out that tweet and made a mistake. And then our government was trapped. Very simply, they were trapped. A simple apology from our government stating that it was our hope, not our demand, that they release the activists. That maybe would have been all we needed. No government in the world will accept another government telling them what to do. And Saudi Arabia, maybe, in fact, they might have been hurt because of what we've done. All right, their desire to change might give those people, those enemies of change, the opportunity to say, hey, look, this little country is telling us what to do. So the Saudi government has to now pull out their 14,000 students because they don't want to look weak. And our government doesn't want to look weak either by saying we're giving in to Saudi Arabia. It was a mistake. And we should apologize. Hey, Canadians, we say sorry all the time. And we should continue as a government and as a country to do what we do best here in Canada and help change happen slowly, peacefully, and at a pace that a country like Saudi Arabia, Cuba, and China accept.
Have you subscribed to James's newsletter? When you subscribe, you will receive a free Study It ESL textbook. Visit www.thejamesriceshow.com for more information and join today. Now it's time for Teacher Talk. James's thoughts and insights into teaching international students.
I'm very happy to have with us today Omar and Abby from, okay, I'm going to try my Spanish here, Instituto Anglosajón, correct?
Correct.
Did I get your school name right? Okay, they're a language school just outside of Veracruz, Mexico, in Terra Blanca, and I really want to thank Omar and Abby for joining us today. Welcome to the James Rice Show.
Thank you.
All right. So, Omar, now you started the language school in Mexico. When did you start it?
So, maybe we're talking about 8 years ago.
Wow, 8 years ago. And why did you decide to start your own language school in Mexico?
So, first of all, because I could see that many people need it. That's why we started. And it was difficult when we were planning this, but now it's working well.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it was. How many students do you have?
Right now, we have around 800 students.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. In all ages?
Yeah, different ages.
From beginner, like kids, to adults?
Yeah.
Wow, fantastic. Congratulations. Now, what do you guys think are the biggest challenges for Mexican students learning English?
So it's really difficult for them learning English in Mexico because they are not in the environment. So when they want to practice, it's really hard to find somebody who speaks English.
Sure.
So that's the first challenge.
Right, of course. Always, that's a big challenge. What other technical aspects do Mexican students have problems with?
Well, I think the language barrier that our students experience is that we have many expressions, many different ways to express certain things that English doesn't have. So it is kind of difficult to have them understand that not everything is translated, and the expressions we use in Spanish are not the expressions we're going to use in English. So we try to...
Could you give me an example of one of those?
Of course. Let me think of one quick. Well, in Spanish, we have a word that it's called confianzudo. And this refers to a person that is too familiar with you in the way they treat you. But in English, there isn't an exact word for that.
Ah, maybe like a confidant.
Kind of like that, but a confidant is somebody that you really trust, right?
Yeah. But it doesn't translate.
Is somebody that just talks to you in a very familiar way, even if they don't know you. Kind of respectful.
I see. Interesting. Okay, sorry, yeah. What other challenges do Mexican students have?
Omar said, they're not in the environment, so they don't get to go outside of their houses and practice English. Our education system is not based on our students learning the language, so like they are advancing levels from first to second to third grade. And they learn English, like they have English in their class as a subject, but they are very repetitive. Like they learn the same things over and over again. So the topics are never cleared because the focus is not for them to actually speak English. As it is in other countries where students may be in their own school and they are learning the language as it is. And in Mexico, we're just very behind on the English education our own schools.
Now, one of the technical problems that I've noticed with Mexican speakers who are trying to learn English is the different tenses. They tend to speak in the simple present tense, and they have trouble switching between the different tenses, especially present perfect.
Right.
Yeah. How do you guys help them with that?
So first we try to explain them in Spanish. That way they are going to relate it to the way to say it in English. So it's really difficult because they don't understand why in English has to change. In Spanish, it's really easier for them, of course. But it's really difficult for us to explain that.
It's difficult for us, many teachers, to explain that.
Right.
That's for sure. Now, but you, of course, you guys are using the study at textbooks, right?
Well, we actually don't.
What? Oh, you should get it for your teachers. Now, go ahead, Abby.
That's part of the reason Anglo-Sajon works so well, because our focus for our students is to learn in a very interactive and dynamic way. We focus on them being able to make their own sentences based on the structures that we teach them. So we're talking that by the end of 3 to 4 months, they're able to make their own sentences and they're able to express what they need to say. And with a textbook, we feel that we are very limited to what the textbook is telling us to teach. So our classes are very open to what the student needs to learn, what the student wants to learn how to say in English. And because they're learning what they need, it's easier for them to speak it faster.
And I have heard some of Omar's students, they are, and Abby's students, they are amazing. They really speak well. So, you know, it's working for your students, whatever you guys are doing. It's really great. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, for teachers that are listening out there, and maybe they're thinking about working in Mexico. What advice would you have? How could they, you know, get down to Mexico to work for a school such as Instituto Anglosajón?
Well, the first thing definitely would be you really gotta love what you do. And because that's part of what we preach here at Anglo, we focus on our teachers loving the fact that they are sharing the knowledge that they have. Because it's not just teaching, it's sharing what we know about English and motivating another person to speak a different language, to explore a different culture. And I also recommend learning the language that they're going to be teaching, not just English, but the language that the students speak. That way, it's easier for them to relate the language the student speaks to English.
Is there any issues with visas, or how would they go about teaching in terms of visa and things like that, Omar? Do you know anything about that?
Not really.
No, you've never hired a foreign teacher?
We have never.
Never.
Okay. Well, they're looking for one, right?
We're definitely open to it. Yes.
All right. Well, it would be cool to teach down there. And what type of students are you teaching? Why are they learning English?
Most of them know that they are going to use in the future. So I think it's like everybody. They want to learn because they would like to get a good job in the future.
Okay, yeah, for their jobs, absolutely. And TOEFL is very popular down there still?
Of course. In fact, we have TOEFL.
TOEFL courses, yeah. And yeah. Is that still what employers look for, or is IELTS or Cambridge? Which what are the popular tests for employers?
Mexico, TOEFL. So anyway, we are working on IELTS, but here you are going to hear more about TOEFL.
TOEFL still number one in Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been number one for a long time down there. Of course, in North America, kind of IELTS, well, especially Canada, IELTS has been improving in terms of the numbers there, and TOEFL hasn't. All right, I can't stop the interview without asking you one question. What do you guys think about Donald Trump?
He's our friend.
He's your friend?
So in my case, as I told you before, I think he's not really wrong. I think he is protecting his country. So he only wants us to do everything legal. So that's why I couldn't say that he's wrong in my case. I think he's trying to do something good for his country.
Yeah, and do things legally, right?
Of course.
Right. Abby, do you want to say anything?
Well, I also don't have a wrong opinion about him. I don't agree with him being a celebrity and then turning into a president. But the United States does motivate people to tell them that they can be anything they want. So he grew up to be a president after being a celebrity.
Yeah, and how do the students feel, towards Trump? I'm sure it's a big topic of conversation in your school. I mean, there must be a lot of students talking about him.
I guess he's a very controversial person. He has said many things about our country and people from our country, and I do find it offensive. But I also think he is very ignorant of many things, very ignorant of our culture and the reasons why many people move to his country. And because he is ignorant of that, his opinions are based on ignorance. And I'm sure if he knew better, he wouldn't say the things he has said. And our students have mentioned in classes or when we have debates about this topic they're not very happy with his opinions towards us, but they are sure that he's doing everything he can for his country.
And do they still want to go to America? Do they still want to travel there and maybe study there?
I love going to Canada.
They want to go to Canada?
Yeah. They're very motivated. Let me tell you that most of our students, when they come and enroll to our classes, their number one motivation is going to Canada one day.
Okay. Even though it's cold.
Yeah.
Even though it's cold.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you guys so much for joining us today on the James Rice Show. It was an absolute pleasure chatting with you.
Thank you. See ya.
Have you downloaded the Study It ESL textbooks yet for your classroom? The Study It textbooks are the first ever digital and interactive textbooks. Once downloaded, Wi-Fi is no longer required. Each book contains video and audio exercises, detailed grammar keynotes, reading and writing assignments, and amazing speaking projects. Grammar, conversation, pronunciation, business English, and listening textbooks are available. Visit www.studyitbooks.com for more information.
Omar is amazing. He has an amazing little school there in Mexico, and I wish him and all of his students the best. They have been coming to Canada for the past couple of years, and I can tell you, they have a strategy of teaching English down there that is very engaging, and the students are so passionate about studying English, and they are really hardworking, and I can't stress that enough. They work so hard to learn the language, and Omar sometimes brings them to Canada, and I've met the students, and they are fantastic. So I want to say hello to everybody out there that is with Omar's school, and congratulate Omar on his fantastic and amazing school. And I hope to visit one day. I hope to visit, and we'll bring down James Rice Show podcast down to Mexico and visit his school and share some more stories about how they're teaching English, how the students are passionate about English. All right, so I hope that this week's show does not get banned by Facebook. I think this is more political than last week's. Stephanie, yeah, Stephanie's shaking her head. Yeah, we talked a lot of politics, but it's Canadian politics, so I don't think anybody really cares. It's when we start talking about Trump that we get ourselves into trouble on Facebook. That's when they start banning us. So if you guys don't forget, all right, get on to Facebook.com onto our page, James Rice Show. Okay, so you can get the updates when we post, because that's not banned, but when we try to share things, they do ban us. So at least if you are following our Facebook page, jamesriceshow.com, you're going to know when we update and broadcast new podcasts. Also, guys, on that Facebook page and on our YouTube channel as well, we do English lessons. Yeah, free kind of English lessons. Now, they are a little bit older. I did them when I, about, I don't know, how long ago was that? 5-6 years ago, maybe. So the quality is so-so. But, you know, they're good information spots that you can learn. They're short videos, about 2-3 minutes long, that we talk about different points of English grammar. So it's a good way for you guys to practice and study your English. It's for free, so check it out. Now, don't forget, I haven't mentioned this for a while, but don't forget, the James Rice Show has its own clothing line, as well as other products that you can purchase through our website, www.thejamesriceshow.com. So visit that website, you know, pick up a t-shirt. All right. If you wear the t-shirt, send me a photo. You're going to get a free Study It ESL textbook. Yeah. So we want to get you guys back doing that. We had a good little run a few months ago with some people buying it, downloading it, and taking some pictures, getting some free textbooks. So I want you guys out there, support the James Rice Show before we get banned from social media here. Support us. Keep us going. And buy that clothing. You can buy baby clothes. as well. You can buy hoodies, t-shirts, iPhone cases, all sorts of great stuff. All right, then take that photo. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in this week. It is always a pleasure to have you guys with us. And remember, be crazy.
Thanks for listening to The James Rice Show. Don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter and send us your questions or comments at www.thejamesriceshow.com.